In this episode of Movie Royalists, we talk about The Devil Wears Prada 2 and Mother Mary. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hello, hello.
Greetings.
We just came from one of the most difficult reviews I think we've ever done, which was the movie The Drama.
Yeah.
It was so difficult.
It was very difficult.
We should probably do a spoiler version of that at some point when the statute of limitations over spoilers. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
But everybody should watch it. Well, okay. Watch it.
Wash it.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, we're a little bit time pressed today, so we're going to jump right into our reviews.
That's only two movies.
Yes.
But they're special.
But I think one more will definitely have some discussion. We did say we were going to do a little bit of a pick of movies.
Anne Hathaway.
Our usual take on movies,
which is
any streaming service. But we're going to try and pick movies that have in them Anne Hathaway.
Well, given that Mother Mary and The Devil Wears Prada 2 are both Anne Hathaway movies, we figured it would be a themed. Okay,
so what you got?
Okay, so I'm going to do, it's the wonderful, wonderful, and I think I made a recommendation of this ages ago. It is the television series called We Crashed, which was about Adam and Rebecca Newman, who were the, you know, Adam Newman was the infamous guy who started WeWork, and there was a great movie documentary about WeWork, WeWorks, and then this is the television series where Anne Hathaway plays Rebecca Newman, and she is phenomenal. It's an 8-episode series. It's available on Apple and I believe Peacock now, but it is the television series called We Crashed.
Yes, what you got?
So, Anne Hathaway, she got the Oscar for Les Mis, and you know, ever since then, there was a huge backlash to her that she's like Miss Goody Goody Two Shoes, and you know, she's too perfect, and you know, whatever. But I think you need to look at her filmography to see that actually she has been getting in the mud from the very beginning. She was in a really, really disturbing movie about wealthy teenagers in LA called Havoc. She got into The Princess Diaries, but before then, you know, she's always been a very, very brave actor, I would say, and she has embraced movies with a very, very wide variety of, you know, different material. She's not afraid to play the bad person or the unlikable person. So I'm an Anne Hathaway fan, but I think the one movie which to me towers over all others in terms of Anne Hathaway performances is the movie Rachel Getting Married. And if you remember, this was the movie that came out a long time ago.
We loved this movie.
It came out in 2008. It was Jonathan Demme who did Silence of the Lambs and Something Wild and so forth. This was his last movie before he passed away. It's a bare bones look at a family getting together for a wedding and how it kind of destructive people kind of almost make the whole thing implode. And it's a raw edged performance from, Anne Hathaway. Talk about unlikable, but she's brilliant in it. So that would be my recommendation. Rachel Getting Married.
Awesome.
Joe, what's yours?
Love that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you guess?
Does it have Christopher Nolan?
There's two that she had with Christopher Nolan.
And one more coming up this year.
Yes.
And that's right. She'd be in The Odyssey as well. So, any of those, honestly. Interstellar, she is excellent.
Yeah.
She plays a NASA researcher, a pivotal role in that movie. But I think her most playful and fun role of all of her entire CV has to be when she played the Selina Kyle Catwoman character in Dark Knight Rises.
She looked amazing.
In many ways, she was a complete scene stealer there because that was very much a side character.
Yeah.
But the way that they wrote the character, the inventiveness, the
sarcasm. I love the
sarcasm and the bite.
Yeah, the bite was fantastic.
And she had to fill in Michelle Pfeiffer's shoes, who had played Catwoman in the
and
previous
version,
and Halle Berry. So it was, you know,
not so hard to
no,
do.
Michelle
and Zoe Kravitz.
Not maybe not what's her name, Halle Berry, but I think Michelle Pfeiffer was amazing.
Yeah, I thought she was good. But for her time.
For her time, yeah.
And then no, it's a very different take on the character, but super fun. So, Rashmi, your pick was?
We Crashed on Apple TV or Peacock, I believe.
Yes, the you got?
Mine is Rachel Getting Married, which is available on several streaming services.
And mine is anything by Chris Nolan.
With Anne Hathaway in it.
Interstellar, but more poignantly, The Dark Knight Rises, because that's the one we talked about. And I get your approval to recommend that this week, right?
Yeah, okay, good.
All right. Two movies to talk about today in the business end of our podcast. So we're going to do The Devil Wears Prada 2 and Mother Mary. Should we tackle them in that order?
Yeah, sure. So Mother Mary, so again...
Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, I thought we were starting with Mother Mary
first.
Let's do Mother Mary, because only Yazdi's seen that one. Then we can finish with Devil Wears Prada.
Gotcha.
Okay, so this includes music by Charlie XCX, Jack Antoff, and Fika Twigs. But this stars Anne Hathaway in the leading role as Mother Mary. The description goes, long-buried wounds rise to the surface when iconic pop star Mother Mary reunites with her estranged best friend and former costume designer Sam Anselm on the eve of her comeback performance. This is directed and written by David Lowery, and it stars Anne Hathaway and Michaela Cole, and Hunter Schafer from Euphoria. If you're wondering who Michaela Cole is, she had a starring role in Wakanda Forever, The Christophers, Yazdi, which I know you want to see, and a few other things.
She was also on the HBO show, I'm Going to Destroy You.
Yes.
Or I Will Destroy You. Yeah.
Yes. So as I'm looking at the little video clip, is this kind of like a Lady Gaga meets Madonna-esque type character, Yazdi? Is this one worth seeing?
That's a very pregnant pause there, Yazdi.
So I don't know what this movie is. I really don't. But whatever it is, I love that it is going to piss off so many people. There were a few walkouts.
Really?
Yeah, and I...
And this was a press and public screening, right?
This was a press and public screening. Now,
it's
written and directed by David Lowery, who did Ain't Them Body Saints. And he did
Which
the
I
ghost...
I loved.
Yeah, and he did The Ghost Story, and he's done so many movies.
Not so much.
The Green Knight. I love The Green Knight. I know you guys didn't care for it as much, but
Pete's Dragon. We love that one.
So he wrote this movie while he was working on the big budget Pete's Dragon and so forth.
Okay.
And it was him trying to deal with his celebrity and trying to deal with people who he had wronged in the past. And so he wrote these two archetypal characters, one played by this pop star who's going through trying to do a comeback, and her broken relationship with probably her best friend who is this big London designer played by Michaela Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie is so abstract and it's so committedly weird that it's amazing that this movie is in theaters. It's amazing that somebody, that A24 kind of financed this. And
well,
it's
that tells
amazing.
You a lot, right? The fact that A24, if this is an A24 movie, they're so brave.
Correct.
And bold in their choice. Yeah. It kind of makes me want to watch this even more.
Now, being a David Lowery movie, it is amazing to look at. So, you know, just know that it's gorgeously shot. It's beautiful. It's really about these two people kind of, it's a two-hander. Most of the movie happens in this kind of shed, this large shed, which is behind Michaela Cole's character's home in London.
Mm-hmm.
And this big pop star, and, you know, Anne Hathaway plays Lady Gaga or Taylor Swift or Madonna or whoever. She's an amalgamation of all of those.
Right. That was my question.
Yeah. And she shows up like 3 days before her return.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants this, the Michaela Cole character, to create an outfit for her.
Okay.
And that sets off this discussion of what went wrong in their relationship. And at some point, it just becomes really abstract. There is this ghost in both of their lives.
Oh.
And does David Lowery mean for this ghost to be
just a
metaphorical? Okay. It's represented visually in a very strange way. FKA Twigs, who used to be with, she has many kids with Elon Musk.
That's right.
And you know, so she's a British, pop singer. She's in it for a little bit of a role. I love this movie. Okay. I loved it for how effed up it is, how crazy it is, how batshit it is. And I love it for Anne Hathaway. If anybody believes that Anne Hathaway does not work hard, watch this movie.
Yeah, I want to see this.
She is working her butt off. I mean, she, first of all, through the entire movie, she looks like she's going to burst into tears like any second, right? She has that tear-sodden, you know, like, woe is me kind of look through most of the movie. And, you know, David Lowery asks her to do some really strange things, not like sexually or anything, but there
is... cake.
Yeah, like he like famously in the ghost story, he made Rooney Mara eat a whole cake on camera, a whole apple pie. In this, but I'm not giving anything away. In this particular movie, there is a part where Michaela Cole tells her that show me the choreography that you're going to do for your new song, but Michaela Cole's character hates her so much that she says you cannot put the music on because I hate, you know, every piece of music you've put forward. So
she has to do it in silence.
So she has to do this whole 5-minute dance in silence. And it's like Dance Monkey Dance, right? And she has to do it, and she does it with so much energy. I'm shocked her bones are not broken. You know, she's bashing herself. You know, it's like she's getting it all out of her. So, you know, kudos to her for doing it. This is the kind of movie which, if you want a linear plot, if you want to know exactly what's going on, don't watch it. But if you want a movie which is playing with ideas, which is playing with ideals, it's playing with metaphors, or if you just like two characters just going against each other, trying to understand why they separated being friends, then this is a great movie for you. And it looks like $1,000.
Score.
For me personally, it's an 8 out of 10. I think most people in the first, like, I'll tell you this, there was general people. So we had the press seats and there were like 4 people behind us who were seated. They were not press. And the girls were the whole time, oh my God, is this a Taylor Swift thing? Blah, blah, blah. And then when it ended, the guy at the back said, I could have spent 2 hours in a better way at the DMV than at this movie.
Oh, really? yes, interesting. So popcorn meter is 58%, critics 71.
Yeah.
Okay, it's that kind of movie.
So it's that kind of movie, okay. But it's so delicious and it's so gorgeously shot. And, you know, I haven't watched This Is Going to Destroy You or any of other of Michaela Cole's previous acting ventures, but she is a formidable presence.
She's incredible in Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
She's the warrior. Remember the sidekick warrior?
Yeah, yeah.
She's like the... She's amazing with the bald head.
Right, and she's
incredible.
She, you know, and she's not big, she's tiny.
No, and she's mighty.
And she's so, like, she's a force of nature, and she's a presence, and I've never quite, you know, seen her. So it was, for me, it was an introduction to Michaela Cole. An acknowledgement of, you know, how committed Anne Hathaway is, and another one of David Lowery's movies. I think this is the most David Lowery of all David Lowery movies.
Really?
I think it's his way of exercising his evils, because I think he probably shunned or did bad to a friend at some point, and he wants to kind of...
Is this an apology?
Apology. Yeah. I think this is his apology. Okay. Right? This is how I would do it. So I just, there's nothing else like this in the cinemas. I don't think there will be this year anything this committedly weird in the cinemas. But yeah, if you like that stuff, it's good for you. 8 out of 10 for me.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Big movie of this month, probably.
Yes.
Devil Wears Prada 2.
Yes. So... in 2000, Hollywood took on the movie The Devil Wears Prada, which was based on this novel written by Lauren Weisberger in 2003, so only 3 years ago, and it was supposedly based on Lauren Weisberger's time spent at Vogue. under, you know,
Anna Wintour, the
mm-hmm. chief head of Vogue. And then that movie kind of came out of nowhere. It had Meryl Streep playing the Anna Wintour equivalent. And it went on to become a huge cultural phenomenon. It, you know, and 20 years later, people are still quoting the movie. And at one point, all the four main actors in the movie, Anne Hathaway, Meryl Streep, Stanley Tucci, and Emily Blunt, had said that they didn't want to sully, you know, what they had with the original movie. There was no interest in sequels, whatever. But I guess 20 years later, they got to a place where they found a script which was good enough. And so here we have The Devil Wears Prada 2. It's the same players and the same writer and the same director. So we have David Frankel, who also directed the first book. Lauren Weisberger is given credit because it's based on the original book with these characters. And then Aileen Brosh McKenna wrote the actual script for the movie. We all saw it. It's just a continuation of... you know, it's a continuation of the original Devil Wears Prada story. And the one-liner for it is simply that, you know, the characters of Miranda and Andy continue on in Devil Wears Prada 2. So we all saw this movie not a few days ago. What did you guys think about it?
I really liked this movie. I was shocked. I was prepared not to like it because I was thinking, how good can a script be? And by no means is this the script of the year. It's very... What's that? Force jammed or hand jammed or what? There's like a term when you shoehorned. It's very shoehorned. But you know what? I had a smile on my face the entire way through. I love the fashion. There is no way that Andy Sachs as a character who is a journalist for some newspaper would be able to afford any of the outfits she was wearing.
Or the apartment she lives in.
Or the apartment that she lives in or that she buys or that, you know... Emily Blunt's character is so ridiculous, but it just works and it's fun and it's empty calories. But it was a great time at the movies.
Joe?
It's hard to do sequels.
Yeah, it's really hard to do sequels.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I always have this kind of thing when they resurrect a franchise after like decades, in this case, you know, it's 20 years. Was it because it was the story they had to tell, or did they just want to get the band back together again?
Yeah.
And I think this falls firmly into the, we had so much fun doing the first one, let's do it again. I know what you just read, Yazdi, as, you know, them trying to preserve their artistic integrity. I don't buy it for a minute because this wasn't the story that had to be told.
Yeah.
You know, this is clearly, them cashing in on some sort of nostalgia. And I'll go so far as to say the original Devil Wears Prada is a classic. It's a movie that on paper I had no interest in watching, and yet every time it comes on TV, I find it extraordinarily compelling. It is highly quotable, but there's a power to it, right? It speaks a lot about, you know, the fashion world, but it also talks about ambition, identity, you know, professional validation, bullying. You know, there's a lot of
deep themes in there
that this movie, as part two, essentially dispenses with, and let's just hang out with these characters again. So, look, did it have enough charm to keep my interest? Absolutely. Am I a little disappointed? I have to say I am.
Yeah, you sound it. Yazdi, are you as disappointed?
I don't know. Maybe I honestly don't know how to feel about the sequel. On the one hand, I was worried that this would be just abysmal.
Same.
Right?
Yeah.
So in a nutshell, I think it is way better than I was worried it might turn out to be, or actually that it needed to be, right? If all it was is like a trip down nostalgia lane, memory lane, it's, you know, it's way better than that. But also, somehow it's not as good as the promise of a sequel, which is done after 20 plus years, right? Like, you should have something really, like, really major to say. For me, it was like revisiting old friends. That was the joy of it. That's the best part of it. And with this particular cast, right, you cannot go horribly wrong. All four of these have individually...
Three out of four.
You didn't care for Tucci?
No.
Oh, you didn't care for Miss Blunt?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And the film is so glossy. Obviously, they've had so much more money that you can practically like glide off of its veneer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are endless. Listen, the whole point of seeing the original was, you know, all those runway shots or whatever. But I got tired of, there's so many shots of them just walking into, you know, into
yeah, an office. Shows, or an office. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, like you, I had a perfectly good time. I never yawned. I never looked at my clock. I was my watch. I was never bored. You know, none of those things. So it's hard. It's hard. I mean, yeah. I agree with you. Sequels are very hard to do. And the very fact that you can bring all these characters back together two decades later and it doesn't feel forced or faked, maybe they're up to something, but I had higher expectations.
Ham-fisted. That's the word I was looking for. It is a little ham-fisted, Yasti. I mean, the fact that they have to create this whole story for the Emily Blunt character with Justin Theroux was awful in this movie. I mean, I don't mind Justin Theroux. I think he's a great actor.
I think he was intentionally awful.
I know, but it was too hammy. That part of the story was too hammy. But I could live with the rest of it. It felt a little forced. But it's a good time at the movies again.
Look, I mean, the Emily Blunt character, I think, just to me, speaks most about my problem with the movie. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't hate this movie. It's a 7 out of 10. So here's my score. It's out there. I really enjoyed it. I think people should watch it. But the, you know, the Emily Blunt character, it kind of is the caricature of everything that's wrong with the film.
Yeah.
That. It's so forced, and Blunt herself isn't doing anything wrong here. Like she's very committed to this role and this character, but you know, narratively, it's just so divorced from reality.
Yeah.
That I didn't buy it. And I think the wonderful thing about the original Devil Wears Prada is that everyone was caricaturized and exaggerated. You know, like Miranda Priestley, you know, Streep is slightly problematic here as well because they've had to cook the Miranda Priestley. They've had to like dial it up one notch. And like the most frightening thing about Miranda Priestley in the first movie was just how little effort her authority took.
Yeah. Right?
Scene after scene after scene. Like a nod, a look, a moment of silence. Terrifying, right? Here they can't give us that because time has passed, the characters are not mature, but that feeling of fear.
And that's unacceptable in the workplace
now,
changed a lot.
Right.
And they try to make a joke of it when she's like, oh, you can't say that, that's politically incorrect.
But again, so then don't tell the story, right? Like, you know, to me, let's invent new characters and have a whole new film. But so again, that's the thing that kind of frustrates me here is that it does dilute to me the greatness. And I think The Devil Wears Prada is an absolute classic. It's a movie that I think has really weathered the passage of time. It looks and plays as good today as it did when it came out.
I didn't love it when it originally came out.
No, neither did I.
But then on subsequent rewatches, I've come to love it.
Yeah, and that's exactly my experience as well, because every time I catch a moment of the movie, just how well crafted each line is, how well those moments kind of stand out and resonate with me, I'm like, oh, you know, this is special.
Yeah.
And this one isn't.
I mean, I think to its credit, the movie does try, and the key word is try, not always with success, but it tries to get into some thorny issues. So it's kind of referring to how big corporations let outside consultants come in and kind of chop away at the company.
Yes, that was very funny.
It talks about incessant mergers that are chipping away at independent thought. I mean, we are in the middle of, you know, the Paramount and the Warner Brothers. You know, there's going to be even less independent thought. It's all very timely about how print journalism is struggling to survive. So all of these things are there, but I wish it had done more with those topics and kind of delved into one of those with any degree of depth instead of just presenting them and then the movie just lets it sit there. They don't do anything with it.
Right.
So the script is kind of saying, we are smart, we acknowledge these are the problems right now, but yeah.
But corporate bad guys, you know, like blah, 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 like evil corporation crushing artistic intent. I mean, it's not saying anything new. I think, again, the original movie had very, very strong things to say about the nature of work and being young at work and what careers demand, right? And I know they can't tell that same story twice, but it was that idea that I think made the movie so special, whereas this is just the blah, blah, blah. It's a fun blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it's.
Yeah. I think it could have done with more bite.
Yeah.
So the bite, the original bite was missing. Yeah. Yeah.
If we're going to go there, then let's attack.
This was a waxy apple as opposed to a nice, crunchy, crispy one.
And, you know, to your point about Justin Theroux, I didn't even recognize him. And then I realized, oh, that's weird, because they do his, like, a balding, receding hairline.
Yeah.
But is he supposed to be, like, a parody of Jeff Bezos? And if so, it's so broad, I didn't even get it. Like, some kind of big tech guy. So then do something with it, right? Just other than, you know, making him, like, okay, here is the black... And I don't mean black. I mean black and white versus here is the evil character, here is the good character. So there's...
And I didn't understand the Lucy Liu story other than the bit at the end.
So I listened to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast on the movie, and they were talking about it, and they're saying there's so many characters in this movie. Maybe they delivered on a four-hour movie, and it had a lot more Lucy Liu. It had a lot more of the, you know, her
Ashley
assistant,
Simone,
Ashley
yeah.
Simone.
Who's great. So she's the Bridgerton lady.
But she doesn't have much. She looks amazing.
She looks amazing.
She doesn't have much to do.
Yeah.
That maybe a lot of this movie landed up, you know, on the editing room floor with, you know, these big name, a lot of big name, you know, actors out there. The other thing which really annoyed me was the endless parade of, like, fashionista cameos, right? I don't remember the first movie having... You know, there's so many people there who are from, like, Donatella Versace.
Oh, everyone wants to be in it. Like, that. Yeah.
But
there was
should
a
you
room
indulge
with...
that?
Yeah, huh?
But should you indulge that if everybody wants to be in it? It was just, I just got tired. I'm like, this is some person. This is some person I don't know, but they're probably very big in the fashion world. But,
Okay, let's wrap this one up. Yazdi, why don't you go first?
So I don't want to poop on this movie because I'm going to say the
same thing. But we just did for like
but because I'm
going to
say the same thing that Joe did, it's really hard to make a good sequel.
Yeah.
And I think the very fact that I felt like I was spending time with my old friends means that it has done at least something right. I just knock it down for what it could have been a great film. It could have been, you know, Godfather 2 to the original Godfather.
Mm.
But it's not. And I think the script is a little flimsy. All the acting is amazing. I think, you know, again, Anne Hathaway is very good. They're all very good. 7 out of 10. 6.5, which I'll generously bump up to 7 because sequels are hard to do.
Joe?
You already know I'm giving this a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
I mean, the best way I can kind of describe the way I feel about this is if you take season one of Emily in Paris and the original Devil Wears Prada and you blend it, you kind of end up with something like this. Because season one of Emily in Paris was actually quite fun. Again, it was the same kind of intern, like, you know, and it was kind of, you know, young white girl fever dream of living in Paris. But that's exactly what this movie was. It was like, you know, apartments people don't live in, you know, it's clothes they could never afford. It's a lifestyle that's not. That's impossible to believe that they have. And that's what Emily in Paris is. It's that young girl fantasy, right? So this is the mid ground of the two. That's completely me trying to say, still go watch this movie because it's fun.
Yeah.
Right. You know, whatever format you see this, it's worth going to see. If you see it on the big screen, it's worth your, you know, your $20 per person and, you know, bag of popcorn because you'll come out with a smile.
Yeah.
And it's worth streaming back of an airplane, all of the things. So, you know, just disappointing because the standard of its forebearer was so high.
I mean, we haven't even talked about Kenneth Branagh, who plays, you know, his husband. So many.
Why?
Yeah. Yes.
Why?
So many people.
Because there's nothing. Exactly. There's nothing to talk about.
He just wanted to be in the movie. I think that's what happened. Well, they wanted him.
Yeah. So again, same for me. You know, this really does sit between a 6 and a 7 for me. I'll be generous and give it a 7 because it is fun, and again, I did smile through it, but it's so empty. It's empty. It's like a big, like, meringue that you tear open and it's just like
air
inside. I mean, but it's fun. It's
fun.
Sweet and delicious.
No,
and
there's this whole subplot.
And I love the fashion.
Yeah, the fashion. I mean,
I love seeing
the budget for the clothes must have been half the budget of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot more money this time around.
Right. There's a whole subplot about Andy, played by...
Anne Hathaway,
about her having a love interest. But that just sputters. It literally sputters. I'm like, okay, you want to make a point that 20 years later, you know, she's not some sad person, you know, just working away. They want to give her a love interest. But then don't do it this way, right? I mean, The actor is great, she's great, but it's like an afterthought. It kind of,
that's exactly what
he's
it kind
of, is. He's kind of shoved
it's
out of the scene.
It's unnecessary.
Shoved out of the main script and then brought back at the end. You know, it's like, don't go through these.
That is literally an editorial note from some would-be do-gooder producer at some studio, which is, well, we don't want to make out Anne Hathaway has had, like, no life this whole time. Right. Let's do this for her. So they're like, right, okay, let's scribble this guy in.
And it's almost contradictory in some ways, because you're saying that women can be independent and not have to have a partner, but yet you felt the need to give her a partner. So,
Sex and the City girls all ended up with partners. So come on.
I mean, either way, you have someone or don't have someone, but do it with, like, do away with Emily Blunt character and have more about Anne's love life, right? Or something.
Yeah.
But anyway. It's not as bad as we're making it out to be.
I was annoyed with myself as I was writing these notes this morning.
It's because we care so much.
I was like, yes. Why do I sound like I hate this movie? I'm disappointed. And I'm not disappointed because it was bad. I'm disappointed because the first one was so good.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Here endeth our podcast.
Indeed. We are drawing our podcast to a close today. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Movie World, as we appreciate the time you take to listen to us, even if it's on your commute.
Yes.
Or while walking the dog, or while sitting down on your
having
couch,
a shower.
Watching us on
hopefully
YouTube.
Not having a shower and getting electrocuted.
So thank you for listening to Movie World. We'll be back again
soon.
Soonish with some more reviews. So
lots of movies coming out.
Yes.
So looking, shaping up to being a good year. Again, I get to this point in the year and I start feeling optimism. We've seen some good stuff so far.
Yeah.
There's some exciting stuff to come as well. So, the I guess the summer season will be on us soon, the blockbusters.
Yep.
All right. Until our next podcast, Too Many Movies, Too Little Time. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.